Hey everyone, my name is Andrew Warner. I'm the founder of Mixergy, where I do interviews with entrepreneurs about how they build their businesses. My voice is incredibly hoarse. It's because I barely slept more than 6 hours lately. Trey, man, I got kids. Kids are waking up in the middle of the night. My wife is out of conferences. And frankly, even when she was here, I was the one who was waking up and dealing with it. I'm not getting enough sleep. I'm exhausted. And I'm still training for a triathlon because I will not be stopped and still showing up for interviews. But I have to acknowledge my voice definitely sounds way different than it usually does. All right, guys, listen to this. Today's guest sells things like flashlights. But apparently the big revenue doesn't come from the flashlights. It comes from the continuity service that he has afterwards. So you buy a flashlight and then you get signed up for some, or you sign yourself up for some kind of membership where he charges you on a regular basis for content that he gets to deliver to you online. You can see how the margins on that are better than a physical product. And I want to understand what the business is behind it. Here's the thing. His name is Trey Llewellyn. When I asked him, look, you have a lot of products. You have this oil thing. You have this gun thing. You have this t-shirt thing. What do I introduce you as the founder of? He said, well, he gave me a list. I said, all right, if you want the umbrella company, it's ILMG. I said, what is ILMG? He goes, I love my gun. How did you say it?
I said, I love my gun.
I love my gun.
I love my gun. Got you.
Which is the first product that he started to sell, which sold t-shirts for gun lovers. Since then, as I've said, he's expanded to other things. I want to find out how physical products convert into online continuity membership sales. And I want to find out about what kind of ads he buys. And I want to find out how this whole thing happened because he was sitting at a conference next to this, I think it was like a teenager who said, hey, look, this is what I'm doing with my business. What the hell are you doing with your life, old man? And he said, you know, what the hell am I doing with my life? And he changed it around. All right, this whole thing is sponsored by two great companies. The first is called TopTal. We'll help you hire your next great developer. The second is the software that I used to book this interview. Even though Trey didn't realize it, he was using Acuity Scheduling to book this interview with me. I'll tell you more about them later. First, Trey, welcome, man.
Hello. Good to see you, man.
All right, I don't understand this. I've heard about you a lot. I come from an ad and I buy one of these flashlights. How much does a flashlight cost? It's pretty inexpensive, right?
We sell the flashlights for $59.
Oh, $59. Yep. Okay. All right. So I buy this tactical flashlight for $59. What's the monthly upsell? What am I buying afterwards?
Oh, well, that's a great question. So what I always tell our students and everyone who ever comes to me is like, what do you sell next? It should always be the same thing you just sold them.
What do you mean? So what do you sell? I've heard you. I prepared for this interview by listening to your interview with ClickFunnels or going through the transcript, and you basically said the same thing. You said, look, there are lots of different things you can sell. Let me ask you about this one. If I go in right now and I buy one of these flashlights, what are you going to sell me today?
I'm going to sell you flashlights, and then you're going to say, I'm going to say, hey, do you want another flashlight for 20% off?
And where's the continuity then?
It's about the third upsell into the.
And what's the continuity? So, by the way, I clicked on one of them. You're asking me for my address, at least from your homepage, which I don't imagine is like the way you usually sell to people. It's $224 per unit, which is a lot of money for a flashlight, I guess. I mean, then you give me another one for 20% off, and then what's the thing that I would be paying? What do I get if I continue to pay you monthly?
So you're looking for the continuity piece. So basically, not the gist of the funnel. So basically, to kind of rewind on you, is that the funnel is the premium funnel. So we make no money on that funnel. That's all gone to advertising and things like that. It's a break-even funnel. So where the money is really made is the continuity piece. And so in that continuity, we provide what's called our NGOA Buyers Club. And inside the NGOA Buyers Club, when someone becomes a member, they have tools and accessories to them where they can become a sharper shooter. They can have downloadable videos. We do interviews every month. We have a podcast, a secret podcast and a regular podcast that we allow them to listen to. And then we also allow them to purchase firearm and ammo through us.
I see. So if I buy a flashlight and then maybe I buy another flashlight for 20% off, then you say to me, hey, Andrew, do you want to be a member of the NGOA, National Gun Owners Association Buyers Club? I say, yes, I pay you on a monthly basis. You allow me to buy ammo on a discount from you guys. You let me listen to videos and watch videos, listen to audio interviews, and you teach me how to become a better marksman. Is that it?
That's it. Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Pretty simple. How much is that per month?
$10.
$10 a month.
$10 a month. So we wanted to make a no-brainer, right?
Paid annually?
You can pay it annually, yes. You'll save 2 months. So basically what we do is we charge an upfront fee. So we charge $96 upfront, and then we charge $10 a month after that.
Why
so there's an enrollment fee.
Why do you do the upfront fee?
That upfront fee is going to allow us to buy more traffic for that funnel. So when you ever have that upfront fee, you're collecting more cash upfront, obviously, which is, I mean, it's a software, right? It's not a physical item. So it's pretty much all cash. So you can take that cash and apply it toward your traffic, which allows you to grab more of an audience.
Like they say,
the more you can spend on traffic, the more buyers you can acquire, right?
Okay. And how much money are you bringing in each year? In fact, let's forget each year. Let's talk about 2016. We're now in 2017, so let's talk about last year. How much?
2016. So what we did in 2016 is with all of our products, so our freemium plus our freedom of shipping, we did our premium funnels, continuity, things like that. I believe we were at right around $20 million is what we brought in.
$20 million last year from all that. What percentage comes from the physical products?
Oh, that's pretty much all. I would say 75% is physical products. About the rest of it is going to be continuity. And then we also do a couple other things like Amazon, Groupon, things like that.
What do you mean by Amazon? Buying Amazon ads or selling on Amazon and selling on Groupon? That's what you mean, isn't it?
Yeah. So like we'll put our items. So when you're building a brand such as that and when you have a big following – people might not want to buy it on your order form. We have a lot of people that call our customer service and they'll be like, hey, I just wanted to call and make sure you guys were real. Like, you know, it's kind of like you're on the phone. You're like, yeah, I'm real. But I don't know. I think that's kind of hilarious when people call and you could realistically say anything. You'd be in your garage. But then, of course, a lot of people are more comfortable buying on Amazon. So they'll go to Amazon and buy it more than maybe your order form. So having your product on other different fields is smart because people are comfortable with that. Maybe
so if
Walmart.
I want to buy this G700, I could buy it on Amazon.
You totally could, yeah.
And then how do you get the continuity product in there?
You don't.
Okay, I see. Because Amazon won't give you any of my contact information. And have you found that putting your contact information in with the flashlight or other product is actually useful?
You know, we've tried Stuffers. I haven't had like much luck with them. We've tried a couple different things. Some of them we see some really good results, and some of them it's like, it's pretty much a dud. And I don't know, it's hit or miss. All of my success has just been primarily online.
Okay. And then how much of this, what did you say you made 2016?
Around 20 million.
Around 20. How much of that was profit?
Profit, I would have to look. I think we're on about a 10% to 20% profit margin.
Okay.
So most of our – here's the thing, though, is our profit's not coming from the funnels. That's one thing you have to understand. A lot of people think our profit comes from the funnels, which is not. It's more of our back end. So it's the email campaigns that we're sending out. It's the branding. It is the follow-ups. It is the sending text messages or sending an email out, or maybe it is a direct mail piece.
What does a text message promote?
It can promote anything. So let's say we're doing the oil, right? So if we got a lead that comes in and we know that person's a gun person, we'll text them and say, hey, make sure you grab your free oil this month. And they'll click on that text message and they'll pop through our funnel via their mobile phone. And boom, there you go. You got that opt-in, buy the oil. And then the next upsell is into the NGO Buyers Club.
I see. Okay. So you're saying, look, the physical products don't make any money. The upsell afterwards, if you're selling me something for 20% off, is that going to make you money?
We take the entire revenue from the funnel, and we look at our profits off that funnel. So let's say the average cart value on a funnel was $100, mm-hmm. okay? And then my profit, let's say, was 75%. Mm-hmm. So then I take that 75% and I apply that to my ad spend.
I see.
So I'm okay spending up to $75 for a conversion.
Got it.
Then with that conversion, I'm getting a buyer lead. I'm getting a buyer, plus I'm also getting leads. Especially what we do is we use ClickFunnels and we use the double order form, which works really, really amazingly.
What's a double order form?
It's when they put in their name, email, phone number, address, and then they have to click a button, which actually submits that form. And then they see the credit card information and they see the pricing. So what's nice about that is we get about a 4-to-1 ratio on that. So for every buyer that we receive, we get 4 opt-ins. So if we have 300,000 buyers or 400,000 buyers, we get 1.6 million list.
So why not show the price before people put in their contact information?
One, it's a way to get the lead. Mm-hmm. And then also it creates, lack of words, it creates them to go through the next steps. Like they're already putting, they've already gone through so much that they're going to keep on processing the order. It seems we just found that works way better than just like a standard order form on one page.
I see. So they don't even see the price until after they've given you their contact information and they've already put some time into this application process or this payment process. I see. And then they're more likely to stick with it.
They'll see the price like on the top banner. Like they do see like, but they won't see how many units. So we'll show them like, hey, you can get a unit today for, you know, 10 bucks. But then once they put in their information, they're going to see, hey, I can get one for 10, two for 20, three for 30, and so on.
I see.
The other thing is follow-up and declines. So when someone has a decline on that or when someone doesn't buy it for some reason, maybe they get a phone call, things like that, they go off. So we'll have an email follow-up saying, hey, did you mean to not purchase that? Or, hey, we still have it on our desk here ready to go out. So we kind of get pretty creative with that.
Okay. And where do you get most of your traffic?
So most of our traffic comes from Facebook. We run a lot of Facebook ads through that. We do some email drops, so that's pretty fun. And then basically affiliates push it.
What's an email drop?
An email drop is when, so let's say you know of a magazine that's all about guns, right? So you will call out to that magazine and be like, hey, do you guys rent your list? And they might say, yeah, we rent our list, and it's, you know, I don't know, $5,000 to send an email to all of our 100,000 subscribers. So then basically you get to copy and paste your creative in that email that they send. So they might say, hey, a word from our publisher or subscriber or, you know, whatever. And then from there, it's all your copy. And then they're coming right over to your order form.
What is totallander.com? Do you know that?
No.
No.
That's new to me.
I'm looking at your referral traffic for nationalprotectionassociation.org, right? That's one of your sites?
Yes.
The number one source of traffic is totallander.com. I mean, by a wide margin. I can't figure out what that could be. And there's nothing on that site. It's a site in Chile. Chile. No, huh?
Yeah, I don't know what that one is. Unless that's one of the affiliates. But we don't. Most of our traffic's United States. Because the thing is with our NGOA Buyers Club, we can't do anything internationally. We have to keep it all U.S. So we're not really pushing much traffic there.
Oh, because you're shipping in the U.S.?
Because of you can't sell like a gun to Canada or to China. Or
are you actually selling guns in the mail like that?
You cannot do that, no.
You can't. Can you do it in the U.S.?
You can, yes.
You can.
You have to ship it to their FFL. You can't ship a gun to someone's house, no.
Where do you ship it?
It's like the gun shop. A gun shop's going to have their FFL, which is a federal firearms license.
Okay.
And so basically you have to have a federal firearms license to purchase a firearm and to send it to another FFL to receive it. Because basically they have to make sure you're not crazy before they hand over the gun.
All right. I got to say this to anyone in the audience. If you know what totallander.com is, please tell me. I can't figure out what it is. But according to SimilarWeb, they've got 1 million visits every 3 months. 352,000 hits, 352,000 visits in the last month. And they've been sending you a lot of traffic. Go figure.
We love that.
All right. I think I see then how this business works. What I'm wondering is, what the hell are you doing here? Why do you need to be on Mixergy? You know how to buy Facebook ads. You're selling guns to a guy. I don't even know what a gun is, really. Right? I don't even know like what this FFA is.
We
got to
get you one. Maybe that's the purpose. You asked for the purpose of this call.
Yeah,
the purpose
what's the
of
goal
this
here?
Call is to get you a gun. That's what we're going to do. We're going to make that happen.
No, you're a smart guy. There's a plan here. There's a master plan that I don't fully understand. It's not exactly to sell gun oil. It's not exactly to sell flashlights. I know that you're doing some coaching. Is the goal here to say, look, I've been doing this for a long time. I want to sell coaching. And if I'm going to sell coaching, people need to know the guy behind those ads. And the best way to do it is to do interviews like Mixergy. Is that it?
You could say that. Here's a little bit of the background behind that. So there's a story that comes with that.
Okay.
When I was growing up, I was like 16, 17. I was actually doing pools. I was selling pools. And then a little later on, I was actually selling tea. I was importing tea from India. And what was interesting is I didn't know where to start. I didn't know where to begin. I didn't know what to do. There was not podcasts. There was not really the internet yet, too much of it. Facebook didn't exist yet. And I remember just always being very frustrated, like not being able to have a mentor. I didn't know what to call it. I just like thought like, hey, I just need somebody to show me like why can't someone who's making, you know, $1 million a year or whatever, doing really well in life, and saying, hey, here's how you do this. Here's how you become successful. I didn't have that. And I couldn't find it. Like, there was no Facebook groups to look for that. So I said to myself, I said, if there ever comes a day that I am successful, or I find a way, or I find something that I deem successful, I want to reach out. Like, I want to make sure that people understand. And this is the way that I think that it should be done, is creating a voice in a noisy world.
Why not buy ads the way that you're buying ads for your other products? If you want to get the message out there, why not create a funnel, buy ads, and get traffic to it?
Like to the mastermind stuff?
The coaching? Yeah, to any of this. To the mastermind stuff, to your education, to your everything.
We do that. But as you know, it's when it comes from a reputable source such as yourself, it has much more value.
I see.
That holds, you know, realistically. But at the end of the day, it's given back. Do I need the coaching? No. Is it low hanging fruit? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, you know, like, we do the Unstoppable course. Those are on TreyLlewellyn.com. Like, that's all free content.
Done where? And
TreyLlewellyn.com, our website. Unstoppable course, we've been doing those for 2 months now. I want to do those for 2 to 3 years. The reason behind those is, you know, if something would ever happen to me, there's teachings to my little guy. I got a little 3-year-old. And I wanted to make videos to where I could leave like some sort of messaging or path to say, hey, here's kind of how you work the world. And we're giving them to the world to experience at the same time. So
one of the images on that site on TreyLlewellyn.com is you on a private jet. You have a private jet? Did you go on one just for a photo shoot? Where are you now?
So I've been on three private jets. So that's like, if there's anything that's ever motivated me in life, it's, I don't know what it is about private jets. That's just,
I know what you mean. I know what it is. First of all, super luxurious that you can actually count the number of times that you've been on it, right? I don't know how many times I've been in a car. I don't know how many times I've been in a nice hotel. They just happen in life. But how many times have people been on a jet? That's number one. Number two, you get to go pretty much anywhere on your dime. And number three, it saves a shit ton of time. I shouldn't be cursing. I should let the guest curse. That's what it is.
I don't know. I don't know. I love how you put it on my dime, because it definitely is on your dime. They are definitely not cheap.
Right.
But you definitely do save time. So I can understand like why people take private jets. The first one we took the family, and that came out of, you know, just my personal funds. That wasn't a company jet or anything like that. No, I don't own a jet. We just charter them. I don't think I'd ever own one, to be real frank, because one, they're crazy expensive and maintenance and all that junk. I'm just okay with, you know, kind of renting one like an Uber. But it was just a goal for me, and it was so outrageous. Like, because when I put that on, that was actually like 4 years ago. I wrote it on a piece of paper. I said I'd be on a private jet, and that's when I was in insurance making like $60,000 a year, and there was in hell no way that I would ever be able to afford a jet.
And at the time, you said you were going to be on a private jet.
Yeah, I was in a coaching program.
I want to get into you. Sorry, you said what in coaching?
So I was taking it was actually called Bold through Keller Williams as an insurance agent. So I took it to meet real estate agents, but little did I know it's going to have a big impact on my own life, to where they're telling me like, here's how to outreach for your goals. It was pretty awesome.
Okay, so I want to go back in a moment and catch up on your story and how you got here. But let me just finish this thing about the jet. When you go on a jet, do you then hire a photographer and get them to come on and say, look, this is going to make for great photos?
I'm pretty sure all those photos were done with an iPhone.
That's it. Like, your wife would have taken a photo of you happy and writing in your journal on the plane.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, actually, I have the camera right here. So that we took the video footage. It was my brother. He was on there, his wife, myself, my girlfriend, and then my little boy, and then my parents. So
the
we
reason
took it.
I ask is all... that I realize I do some pretty badass stuff in my life. Like, I'll go out and it's more like workout type stuff or like long distance stuff. Go, damn, this would make such a great photo. But I'm so engaged that I never take a photo. And so I thought, you know what, there's a service now that you can call, just like you call an Uber, you can call a photographer and they come and take a picture. I said, maybe that's what I should be doing. If I don't have the patience, just get somebody to come and take a photo. Mm-hmm. Maybe on a jet. I'm not taking a photo on a jet, but I should, because it makes for a badass photo.
I think you would. You would not miss that opportunity, because you want to savor it. You know,
the photo, you know what? When I savor, I'm so in the moment that I don't give a rip about the rest of the world. But I shouldn't. I need to take a second and do a photo. All right. By the way, you have a 3-year-old. How come your voice isn't hoarse like mine? What are you getting sleep?
I do get – we get plenty of sleep. We actually do.
I tend to get a lot of sleep too, but man, it's been a disaster the last couple of weeks. All right. Let me take a moment to talk about my sponsor. Then I'm going to come back and find out how you got here. And at some point, I want to dig into your funnel. And one of the things that you're going to offer my audience is a copy of your funnel. So I want to ask about that too. So first, my sponsor is a company that you had no idea you were even using. Before this interview started, I said, hey, listen, Trey, I'm going to talk about my sponsors. Do you have any issues with these two people? And one of them was Acuity Scheduling. You said, what? Acuity what now? Hey, and the cool thing is Acuity Scheduling is what you use to book this interview with me, right? And I love that you didn't know that. Here's why. When you want to get someone on the phone, you can't make it difficult for them to schedule a call. You can't go back and forth and say, are you available here? Are you available then? How about now? How about later? What time zone are you in? That's a shit. Well, that's a problem. So you're much better off saying, here's a link to my calendar. All my availability is on there. Pick whatever freaking day works for you. And then after you pick it, you put your name and your phone number and all that so that I know who you are and I know how we could connect. In this case, it's also a Skype so I could connect. The reason you don't know what it is because I take their code from Acuity Scheduling. I embed it on Mixergy.com. It looks like it's part of my site. When you get emails, it looks like the emails are coming from Andrew that say, hey, tomorrow you got an interview. An hour before, hey, looking forward to having you on. Boom. As soon as you're done, you'll get a follow-up. All that stuff is super simple. We actually had a guest, the founder of Calm.com, Michael, said, hey, would you guys mind not using that ugly ass photo that you took of me and putting it on your site? Here's a better photo. So, you know, I said, Trey, I said, not only do I not mind, a few people have asked me to change their photos. How about when someone books an interview with me on the link, on the calendar invitation, I could say, if there's a favorite photo that you want me to use, just put the URL here. Boom, problem solved. No more people feeling like I used a bad photo of them and maybe feeling a little unsure of whether they could tell me to pick a better photo. That's the beauty of Acuity Scheduling. If you're out there and you want to get more of your calls, actually, if you want to get on more calls with your potential customers or your existing customers, there's no better tool. I know it because I've used them, literally used, I'd say a dozen different competitors. This is the one that works best and the one that's so easy that I could hand to anyone on my team and say, hey, update it. In fact, when Michael said, hey, I don't like the photo, can you adjust it? I didn't go back into Acuity and adjust Acuity and have it ask every guest if they have a favorite photo. I just said to my assistant, listen, can you figure it out? Just add it on. And she did because it's easy. If you're listening to me and you want to get more people on the phone, you've got to check out acuityscheduling.com. acuityscheduling.com/Mixergy, because when you use that, you're going to get a ton of free time to really use this software and see how much it could improve your business. Your salespeople are going to thank you for it. Your product people who get to talk to potential customers and existing customers are going to thank you for it. Your customers are going to thank you for it because you're going to make it really easy for them to get on calls with you. Go check out acuityscheduling.com. And Trey, I see you're looking it up. What's your thought? How are you going to use Acuity Scheduling?
It looks nice. I know we use a scheduling partner now, so I'm definitely going to compare to it.
Good. Check it out. One of the good things about this is I know you use Infusionsoft, right?
I don't. No, I don't use that.
Someone on the team does.
Someone on the team does.
Yeah, it integrates with Infusionsoft. It integrates with so many other apps. Go check it out. acuityscheduling.com/Mixergy.
I bet it integrates with ClickFunnels, though. Does it integrate with ClickFunnels?
It integrates with everything. You know why? Because not only did they create individual integrations, they also integrate with Zapier. So whatever they didn't think to integrate, boom, Zapier zaps it over.
There you go. All right. So see, it works. We just know.
It works beautifully.
Go get it.
Hey, listen, you were mentioning a little while ago that you had a couple of businesses growing up. One of the businesses you said was a pool cleaning business. This was back when you were 16 years old. And we're going to jump to how you got to where you are in a moment. But your dad shut you down. Why'd your dad shut down the fact that you had a business? What's up? Oh. Do you want me to call him up right now and ask him?
We could totally do that. You know, that'd be a fun conversation. We should totally rock that.
Text me your dad's phone number. Let's see if we can call him on speaker right now.
Oh, he'll totally answer.
Oh, your mic is so good that as soon as you like leave 6 inches away from your mic, nothing gets picked up. I'm gonna call your dad right now.
I know you can't even hear the
it's such a good mic.
Conversation in the background. Oh, it is. You know who referred this mic?
No.
Smart Passive Income. Good old Pat Flynn.
Pat Flynn recommended it. That guy is so good. He's one of these like super detail-oriented people that every little thing has to work. I've said this before. I was at a conference. I needed a cable. I've got your number. I was at a conference. I needed a cable. He had a cable carrying case so that he would have every possible cable to connect his laptop to whatever presentation setup that they have. Here. What's your dad's name?
John.
John.
We should call him and then be like, all right, so let's see. He should. Yeah, he should totally answer.
Oh, this is so good. I love that you're willing to do this.
Oh, absolutely. This is fun. Because I'm curious what he'll say because I know the answer.
I've known Tucker Max forever. I've asked him to let me call his dad in an interview. As open as he is about everything, he would not let me do it.
This is how we do this.
This is so cool. All right. I bet he's not even going to answer because he doesn't recognize my number. I'll text him. I'll say, hey, I've got Trey on. Can we talk to you?
I have Trey in handcuffs, and you need to come.
Got a voicemail. Okay, I'm going to send him a text message right here. Recent. St. Charles, Missouri. That's where you guys are from?
Uh-huh. Yep, St. Louis.
Okay. Trey.
So while you're doing that, I'll give you my story, and then we'll see how close his story is.
Okay.
If he answers.
Yeah, what's the deal?
He calls you back.
What was this pool cleaning business, or what was the pool business, and why did your dad ask you to stop?
So, all right. So basically, we had the pool business. So I actually am from Hannibal, Missouri. So that's about an hour north of St. Louis, which is more of a smaller town. It's about 18,000 people. It's where I grew up. It's where he grew up.
Okay.
So everybody knows everyone. Everybody's clean and collected and cool and fun. And so we had a pool. We actually had a pool at our house. And we were going. I didn't have a job. I was kind of working at Golden Corral. And we went to this pool cleaning business, and they said, "Hey, your son should clean pools because we have a lot of customers coming in that are asking for their pools to be cleaned." I was like, "Well, how hard is that? Because you got to know all the different chemicals and blah blah blah." So she basically, I used to go to this little tool, 2-hour schooling of how to learn chemicals, and you know everything you need to know. So I did that, and then that's kind of when I first had my first advertising. That's the first time I ever advertised in display advertising, which was the newspaper. Okay. And I had no money. I'm 16. I have no money. And so I was like, "Hey, how much, Dad, is it to put a newspaper ad in the newspaper?" And he's like, "Let's call him." So it was like $35. I was like, I don't want to spend $35. And he's like, "Well, if you get one pool, it'll pay for itself." And that was his acknowledgement. I was like, "That's true." So I said, "Okay, let's do it." So we did it, and I got three clients off this ad at $30 each. And so that means I get to clean their pool every week for $30 each. So I was making $90 a week a cash. Just by cleaning these people's pools. And so over the next 2 years or 3 years, I got that to like 10 or 12 pools. So I do them all in the morning from like 9 a.m. till like 11 a.m. And or actually it was like 4 a.m. I was waking up like super early because it gets so hot. And so anyways, I did that. And then my dad, he got a job as a DSM, a district sales manager. So we moved to St. Louis. That's kind of where our patch came through. And we moved to St. Louis. And I was like, "Hey, I'm gonna do the pool business here because it's making so much cash." He's like, "I don't know about that." And I was like, "Why?" And he's like, "Well, people kind of sue people here, and what if you go and rip somebody's liner and you don't know them as well as we did back in Hannibal?" And I was like, "Yeah." Like, so he pretty much put the fear of God in me, and I was like, "Yeah, you're right. Like, I probably shouldn't do that." And so basically, I freaking ditched this business, and that probably could. I'd probably be a pool boy today if I would have never taken that advice.
Did you in your mind build it up like you gave up so much money just because of your dad? At some point, did you feel resentful for it?
Oh yeah, you're always like, man, because I was making $400 a week, on a Saturday and Sunday cleaning pools, and to a 16-year-old, 17-year-old, like that's mega cash. That's $2,400 a month in just cash money. Because
So here's the deal. So you're a really smart guy. Why'd you end up at Unilever? Did you wear those beard nets?
Oh, Unilever.
Unilever. Why'd you end up working at Unilever, considering how entrepreneurial you are right from the start?
You know what? That's a good question because I failed, I went through – that's a really good question. So pool business did really well, and then I did the tea business, and I couldn't really get to go. But then in that time, it's like – this was 2005, 6, 7, 8. This is when parents are like, you got to go to college. You got to get a degree. You got to get something that's secure. Like that's where their background is. That's where our background should be, right? But that wasn't my drive. That wasn't my passion. But it was also something that, I didn't have anything else. So I needed to do something. So I went to Rolla, got the job for, I worked as a contractor for Unilever. And that's where they made shampoo for the ladies. And I learned a lot about shampoo. But I also took a step back and I said, in 50 years, what am I going to look like? And I took a look around the people in the factory and I'm like, these aren't the people I want to look like, you know, like no teeth and long hair and pepper beards and like hair nets and earplugs and glasses and like jean clothes and hard boots, like steel toe boots. And I was like, this is not me. And I wanted something more. And that's kind of when I went into the path of kind of becoming an insurance agent, because you're more of an entrepreneur that way. They let you have like hire assistant and you own your own business and you have your own booking, I guess you could say. So that gave me kind of like the inspiration that I needed to know, like, oh, it's kind of easy to hire people. Like there really isn't, like I was scared to do that. You know, there's so much paperwork and things that could go wrong, but realistically it's pretty simple. It was just my own roadblocks getting in the way is really what happened.
So then you go to Traffic and Conversion. That's Ryan Dice's event, right?
Yeah, they just had one.
Yeah, they did. Were you there?
No.
apparently bots were really big at that conference. I heard you went there, and then you sat and you had this life-changing moment with a kid who was sitting next to you. I'm wondering, why does a guy who sells insurance end up at Traffic and Conversion?
So I was there because a good friend of mine wild story. So there's a guy named Michael Mayer who wrote a book called Seven Levels of Communication that I read as an insurance agent. And that was to teach you how to get referrals. Mm-hmm. He put me in touch with a guy named Sean Lynham. Sean Lynham told me, hey, you need to go meet this guy named Garrett J. White. And I was like, well, who's Garrett J. White? And he's like, dude, he'll change your life. You need to go meet him. So I said, okay. So I said, how do I meet this guy? Well, he's really hard to get a hold of, but I know he's going to this event called Traffic and Conversion. I said, well, I don't know what Traffic and Conversion is, but I'm going to go there just meet this Garrett White and this Adam guy. And so that's kind of what led me to TNC. And I brought a friend, and like I was excited to meet Garrett, but then I was also excited to like learn this new information. I was like, oh my gosh, like it was just like fire hose of just info. I'm like, we went back to the hotel every night and we stayed up till like 3 a.m. just writing down ideas and concepts and just understanding like this is how you can make money online. This is how it works. Like they're telling you the secrets. And so that's how it began. And yeah, like you said I sat by that kid.
Uh-huh. And what happened with that kid?
So that was the first day. So I'm sitting there and I'm 25, 26 maybe. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there and there's this younger kid. He's probably 10 years older than me or 10 years younger than me. He's like probably 17, 18. And I'm looking at him like, hey, what do you do? And he goes, oh, well, you know, or how much I asked him how much he made last month. He goes, oh, I made $10,000. I was like, $10,000? Because I'm making only $6,000 doing
– I love that you're willing – I'm taking a photo for your dad to show him that we're on right now talking.
Yeah. He's probably like
– I love that you're willing to sit next to a guy and ask him how much are you making?
Well, I was curious because these kids are like so young and they're like t-shirts and shorts and they're just like not taking notes. And I'm always here like fiercely writing, like trying – like, and they're just acting so cool like they know all this. I was like, how do these kids know so much? And so I was just curious. Like I just got to a point where I'm going to be blunt. I'm like, hey, how much you make? And he's like, oh, I made $10,000. I'm just like floored. And I was like, how did you make that much money? And he goes, oh, it's so simple. I just post pictures of cats and videos of cats. And I was like, and you made $10,000? I was like, did you sell like cat food or litter or something?
Yeah, what was he selling?
No, he sold some sort of software. I don't even know what he sold. It was some sort of software. But I was like, if it's that easy to sell software selling cat video or showing cat videos, then count me in. Like, I'm totally doing this. So when we came back, that's when my brother was graduating from law school, and I said, we are starting a business together. And he kind of said, well, what are you going to do with there?
And so you were kicking around a bunch of ideas, and I know the idea you went with. You did an interview with our producer before we started to get us prepped here. But I'm wondering, what are some of the ideas that you were kicking around that weren't right or that were almost right? I want to know your thought process for finding this thing that I never would have expected would have taken off.
Oh, that's a good question. So I guess it really comes back to we started actually with a dog page. We started with a Weimaraner page.
What page?
A Weimaraner. My girlfriend at the time had a Weimaraner.
That's a type of dog?
It's a type of dog. Yeah, it's okay. A hunter dog. Beautiful, beautiful dogs. And so we started a page like that. And then on Facebook.
And then what's the idea behind a Weimaraner page? I can't even pronounce the name.
Weimaraner
page. What's the idea behind that? What's the business model there?
We had no business model. That's the hilarious part. Like we didn't know what we were doing. I just knew we had to start a fan page because that's what this kid did at this TNC event. And I'm like, he's making 10 grand, so somehow we're going to make 10 grand. We don't know how to monetize it.
I'm looking at this dog. I'm not into looking at dog and cat videos, but this is a pretty cool looking dog. It looks serious enough that you could feel proud to have one, but also cuddly enough that I wouldn't mind him sitting in my lap while I was like watching a movie. Okay, so you just said, look, this guy has cats. We're going to do dogs, and we're going to niche down to have this whiner page. You had no business model.
No business model. Absolutely zero. Okay.
So then what came next?
The same thing with the guns. So we're just throwing spaghetti at the wall is what we're realistically doing. So we're saying, okay, let's throw wet noodles at the wall and let's see what sticks. We had a Weimaraner page, we had a Mustang page, and then we had a gun page. And crazy enough, the gun page is what started to take off. We started to see engagement and comments and shares. And what's really nice about all that is that Bryceland, he graduated from law school and he was going to become a police officer. Little did we know a year later is when all those Ferguson events was going to happen here in St. Louis. So realistically, I don't know if I saved his life or not, but, you know, I might have kind of thing. And, you know, that was the one big thing of when we started a business. And I said, I don't want you going into police enforcement because I don't want to see you come home in a coffin.
I see.
I want to make sure that you're here and let's do something. Like, let's take my drive and my whatever marketing experience I think I have. And your passion of guns, let's stir that in a pot and let's see what happens.
I see. And the gun page was a Facebook page with photos of guns and people holding guns. Is that it?
That's pretty much what it came down to.
Okay. And people, I guess, were sharing it, liking it. What did you do to goose up? Oh, there's your dad. John, right?
Yeah.
John, you're on. We're recording right now. It's good to hear from you.
Is Trey there?
Yeah, he's right here. Do you want to say hi so he knows it's really you? Trey, so that you know that it's really him.
Yeah, he knows what's up. So they're one. Can you hear me?
Can you hear him?
No.
Here we go.
Oh, hold on.
Go ahead. If you speak, he'll hear you now.
Oh, he'll hear me now. So he's wanting to know. He was asking me about the pool business that I had, and then wanted to know why you didn't think it'd be such a hot hitter in St. Louis. Oh, your mic's now gone.
Basically, I'm asking, why did you stop his pool business in St. Louis?
I think probably because of the liability issues.
Ah, that's exactly what he said.
I don't know that I stopped it, but I probably gave him, you know, I'm an intern, so, and when he was in Hannibal, we knew everybody and they were friends and things like that, and he did very awesome at it.
I see. It sounds like he was entrepreneurial even back when he was a kid, maybe even especially back when he was a kid. And it seems like this tea business that he had maybe made him feel like he wasn't as entrepreneurial as he thought he was before. Does that sound right to you?
No, I don't know. I actually know because, he did good. He stayed with the tea business.
Uh-huh.
He stayed with it and took it, you know, clear to the end and kept trying new things and ordering product and things like that. So I don't feel that he did. I mean, I think it was a good start for him. But if you want to go way back,
yeah,
this kid was a performer back in grade school. He did magic shows for the talent show, like in second grade and third grade and stuff like that. So I mean, he was never bashful. Clown sometimes, but not bashful.
What do you make of the business that he's got right now, where he's selling flashlights and gun oil and stuff like that, and now also getting on podcasts like this and performing? What do you think of this?
Oh, it's awesome. I'm proud of both my boys, you know?
Yeah.
They're doing awesome. I wish I was in their shoes when I was that age.
What's the moment when he started this business that you realize, okay, his life is going to be different and I'm proud of the direction that he's going in with the new business?
Probably when he drove us up to the private jet and said, we're going to Las Vegas.
I was talking to him about that earlier because he's got a
like
photo of himself
listening.
On a jet.
Yes. So, his 3-year-old son's been on a private jet more than I have in my whole life.
Yeah, the guy's made good. All right, I'll stick with the interview, and I'm going to find out more about how he's doing it now. But I really appreciate you for coming on here, especially since you don't know who I am, just to tell us a little bit about your son.
All right, sounds good.
Thanks. Thanks. I will.
All right.
Bye.
That's too funny.
Yeah, I love how he ends a call saying "I love you too." I have a hard time saying that to my dad. Do you have an easy time saying "I love you" to your dad?
Oh yeah, absolutely. All my family.
I could say it to my kids. I could say it to my wife. But beyond that, it's just like work. I love you, and I really do love people for work. But personal, it just feels a little too close. I love that he was willing to say that on camera like that.
Absolutely. Well, he wasn't on camera. We all were.
But he didn't know that. I mean, on mic anyway.
Yeah.
I see the direction that you're going in. I'm wondering why your brother. I get that why bring your brother in for a partnership? Did you feel like maybe you wanted some comfort because you were about to get out of your comfort zone of the insurance business?
Oh no. I mean, I would have gone and done something, you know. What's ironic though is from the previous businesses that I did have, you know, most of them were break-even businesses. Like he was saying that, as you heard, like, you know, I stuck with the tea business. So I stuck with that thing for like 3 years. But realistically, that dang thing didn't make any money. What it really made me was knowledgeable, right? I understood what didn't work. Mm-hmm. I understood what I needed to change. And as you kind of said, you know, I was changing things. I was trying to, because I was like, why isn't any of this working? It sucks. Like, I'm not making any money. Like, I'm just taking money from here and putting it over here and nothing's left for Trey. And I learned a lot from that of like what to do. And so came the time to where Bryson was graduating. I think, you know, a lot of people ask you, what's your why? Like, what's your passion? And my why is, again, like, why do we all have to do this all by ourselves? Like, there's no reason for that. So why not share? And, you know, the same thing goes with, you know, hey, I'm going to create a dog page just like yours. I'm going to create a gun page just like yours or whatever model. And the same thing is like, oh, that's cool. Like, that's why we have the mentorship. You know, we open our books, we show people like what we're doing and how we're doing it. And the reason is there's so much freaking money out there and there's so much like potential that I like what we're doing right now might seem a lot to people listening, but at the end of the day, it's a drop in the bucket. It really truly is.
This revenue, $20 million is a drop in the bucket compared to what could be made.
I mean, look at all the companies around there. Look at Tesla and Apple. Come on.
When you start going to Tesla, we are kind of playing small ball.
But totally.
You got to build somewhere. Let me take a moment here. We've got backstory now in the second segment. Next, we're going to go into details of how this business grew. And I want to go into the early sales because I think that gives us a sense of what was working early on. But first, I got to tell you about my sponsor. In fact, before I get to my sponsor, I want to tell you about a guy named Justin Hartzman, who didn't expect that I would mention him here. And the reason I'm telling you about Justin Hartzman is he heard me talk about TopTal. And Trey, he even knew like, he said, Andrew, I know everything that you say about the TopTal commercial, including top is in top of the mountain, tal is in talent. It's the best place to hire developers, best of the best. And he emailed me and he said, Andrew, I went to hire and I wasn't happy with them. Totally fine. Anytime you sign up with any of my sponsors, if you're not happy, I want to know. And the reason I want to know is I always want a sanity check. Am I talking about my sponsors because they're great for me and because they pay me or because they're really good for my audience? And for Justin, happens that it wasn't a good fit, and I'm happy to follow up with him and make sure that it's not an issue with TopTal, that they didn't screw up. But the reason I'm bringing up a person who says that it screws up is that it wasn't a good fit for him is because I talk a lot about how many people benefited from hearing me talk about TopTal, who said, best developers out there, Andrew's talking about how much they put people through this testing process, I'm going to go and hire from them. And they do, for the most part. And if for some reason you go to TopTal and it doesn't work out for you, I want you to let me know. Andrew@mixergy.com. They're not just a sponsor. They've become good friends because I've introduced so many people to them. So if it doesn't work out, I will stand behind my sponsor. You can email me and I will help make it right. But for the vast majority of people who are listening, who are looking for developers, who are ready to pull their hair out because the developers that they find are not very good, or it's just too hard to find them, or they're too expensive, I am telling you, TopTal has performed. And so if you're looking for a great developer, go to toptal.com, toptal.com/Mixergy. When you do, they're going to give you 80 hours of TopTal developer hours when you pay for your first 80 hours. And that's in addition to a no-risk trial period. So many people at Mixergy have signed up for them, including me, that they just keep buying ads over here because they really do have a tough screening process because the prices that you pay to hire these great developers really are reasonable. I wouldn't say super low. I know you can find cheap developers out there, but those cheap developers aren't Google quality developers. You want people who can think for themselves, who can understand your problem and come up with a solution, and TopTal will. So for anyone out there who signs up, if you're not happy, let me know. I'm not just here reading it because they happen to pay me. Anyone can pay me for an ad. I will not take just anyone. I will only take people who I will proudly stand up and say my email address is andrew@mixergy.com. My office address is 201 Mission Street in San Francisco on the 12th floor. I stand behind them and I'm open that I will only take companies that I am proud of and that will do right by my audience. So go check out toptal.com/mixergy. If you have a good experience, let me know. If you have an experience that you're not excited about, let me know. I'm here. I love my sponsors, and I want you guys to love them too. Top is in top of the mountain, talisintalent.com/mixergy. I feel like I'm asking for a world of pain there, Trey, when I say that, right? But if they're not getting good experience, I want to be there. I want to know about it.
I don't know. Have you ever read the book Persuasion? Persuasion?
Yes, I had Robert Cialdini on here because I love that book. Yeah, why do you say that? What's the context here?
Because what you just did was a chapter written in that book. That was absolutely amazing.
I love that actually I get to use his ideas without even recognizing it.
You did it.
What was the technique that I used?
You gave a pain. You gave a truth statement. People want truth. And mm-hmm. So I'll have to go back to that chapter. But I was like, oh, man, that was – because I'm actually listening to that book right now, and you nailed it. It was basically showing a pain in a truthful way. So you're very truthful. Like we don't – you know, we might be the most expensive flashlight out there. However, it was because, you know, blah 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 blah.
You're saying talk about the bad part of the product, not just the good part. It gives credibility. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Right. I agree with you. It wasn't an intentional thing, but I agree that by saying Justin Hartzman had a bad experience with TopTal and he emailed me, I think that it does give credibility to the ad, and I didn't do it for credibility. I did it because I want to be open and say, This is the way I want to operate,
and that's perfect. You just gave TopTal a 33% lift on that web address.
Oh, that'd be great. Good. All right. So you have all these people who are into guns who are looking at what I would call gun porn, right? Where you look at photos. I'm now into cycling porn, by the way. I can't stop looking at people who are cycling. I need to not like naked people on bikes, but I love cycling. So I'm watching people. Cycle. So I get it. I get why someone would want to look at this gun porn, photos of people with the guns or just guns. Mm-hmm. You then figured out what to sell to them. What did you sell?
What do we sell currently?
Yeah. What did you sell to the people? Now, going back to your story, you had this Facebook page. A lot of people were looking at it and looking at the photos of guns, and you decide, I got to sell something or else this is not a business, a hobby. What did you
sell? Totally. Well, so we start with t-shirts. That's where it all started. This is when like the big t-shirt era was coming out. And I was like, oh my gosh, t-shirts sell online. And I was like, oh my gosh, t-shirts sell online. So everybody's jumping into the t-shirt pool. And I was doing it. I was training on it. I was showing people again what we do. So this is like, you know, repeating.
You were selling t-shirts, but you were also selling people on learning how to sell t-shirts.
Yep. So we had the two companies, the Trail Island and the Island G.
It was always two companies. You're basically a guy who's starting a new business, and you're still starting at the same time a business teaching people how to start businesses.
Yeah. I mean, we had success before I started teaching, because I'm not too into like the guys who like had one successful campaign and they're like, hey, now I'm a coach. So we definitely were in business for like a year. So I wanted to make sure like we had books.
First, you were selling t-shirts. First, you were making money. Okay. All right. Yeah. And then you were teaching people how to do it. The t-shirts, you sold them on Teespring. I had the founders of Teespring on here, longtime Mixergy fans. I'm wondering why you use Teespring though, because Teespring requires that you sell a certain number of t-shirts before you print them, right?
They did. So there was two downfalls to Teespring. The first one was, you had to enter a number. And so we were always highballers. And so we're like, 300. And so if we didn't hit that 300, we were pretty much screwed.
That means all the people who came over up until that 300, if you don't hit your target, they don't get their t-shirts. You don't get that revenue, right?
Yeah. That was how they kind of started. That's kind of how they started out. And so it was a big, big move to make that 300 pitch, which kind of helped us in the long run. And then the other side, the other downfall was and they don't do this to this day, is they don't give you the buyer information, phone number, email, address. And if you are going to be in the online business, if you are listening to this podcast and saying, you know what, I want to change my life and quit my job, or I want to increase my bottom line, you got to have that database. Like, that database is your golden key to being successful.
I see.
And without it, every time we had a campaign that completed or end or whatever, or deplete, we are unemployed until we found in the next winning shirt. And so we didn't have a database to email people. We didn't have phone numbers to call. We didn't have
people to mail. You also were spending a lot of money on ads. How much money did you spend to make your first few bucks?
Oh, gosh. Well, to make my first few dollars, I was a child, and I was pretty much...
No, here's where the pre-interview data helps me. Apparently, you guys spent $500 roughly on Facebook ads to make $7, but you said, you know what? We actually made $7. We've got something here. Is that right?
Yeah.
So the whole thing was not exactly working, even though you were starting to get it work. And then Ari in the pre-interview, our producer, said, hey, listen, Trey, then what the hell did it? And you said, I went to Palm Springs. Why did Palm Springs help? What did you learn there?
Oh, man. Palm Springs changed my life. It really set me free is really what Palm Springs did. Not the location, but the mastermind that I went to. And
whose mastermind did you go to in Palm Springs?
That was Adam Spiels. He doesn't have a mastermind anymore, unfortunately. But that's the other guy that I met at TNC. It was Garrett and Adam Spiel. And those guys were working together at the time. And I was like, Adam, show me how to make money. So basically, Adam's a genius, and he showed me a lot of things about Facebook. And
what did he teach you about Facebook?
Oh, at that time, he taught me how to basically make ads, what to use, like how to run them, all that stuff. Like the Power Editor wasn't even a thing back then.
I see.
That's when I started Facebook ads.
Okay, and so then you go back home. Oh, he also teaches you about...
No, we go to Palm Springs. We go to Palm Springs.
Right. Okay. And then Palm Springs, he's giving you more training. And one of the things that he teaches you is the MTO technique. What's the MTO technique?
The MTO. So that's where pretty much it all kind of hit bottom, and then all of a sudden we went up. So the MTO is a great strategy. You should use it. An MTO would be saying, like, I want minimum this month, I want 100,000 listeners to my podcast. Right? My target would be like, maybe 200,000. Now, outrageous. Like, what would be outrageous? How many listeners?
A million. Per interview. We're talking about like outrageous is like a BHAG type of thing, right?
Totally. Like, you're just like, it's so out there, you don't even know how it'd be possible.
Yeah.
Right? Like, just crazy. And so that's kind of where he sat me down. We sat in this group, and I'm there with people who are, you know, are million-dollar people. Like, they're like, oh, yeah, I made $1 million last month, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, dude, I made like $3,000 last month. Like, I didn't make anything. And so I was the last one to go, unfortunately. And so they're like, okay, well, what's your MTO? And I was like, my MTO is, you know, like $5,000, like minimum I'm making $5,000. Like, okay. Because I was making about $6,000 doing the insurance. So, and I was still doing insurance. So I wanted to make sure that if I did quit, I had enough income to replenish what I was already doing, like food and groceries and home and stuff like that. And then my minimum I made for $15,000. And then for outrageous, I was like 60, just because I was making $60,000 as an insurance agent. So in my mind, I'm like, if somehow this world comes together in some way or form, and I'm able to make $60,000 in 1 month, like I pretty much have given myself 11 months of vacation. I have no clue what I would do with myself. And so that was kind of my running joke inside my head, but I wrote it down as an outrageous goal. And then kind of came the next question. It's like, well, okay, so how are you going to go from 5,000 minimum to 15,000 or to 60,000? And I was kind of saying, well, I'm spending about 10 bucks a day on Facebook. And they're like, well, okay, what are you going to do to, you know, become uncomfortable? And I said, I can get, you know, maybe do 20 bucks a day. And I remember this to this day, I'm still friends with him, great friends, Rob Cosberg. He drops his water bottle and he just kind of looks at me. He's like, ooh, like that's, you know, big baller there, dude. Like, you're really going to go places. I was like, man, you're right. Like, what do you think, 30? And he's like, no, like 100. Like, try 1,000 a day. I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, my heart sank a little bit. Like, 1,000 a day, that's crazy. Well, a little like 3 months, 4 months later, those MTOs started to show up. And they didn't show up on paper. They showed up into my bank account. And it was like, wow, we did $5,000. Wow, we did $15,000. Wow, we did $30,000. We did $30,000 in March. And then come like May, it was like right in between May and April. We did $117,000 selling shirts in one
just
month. Just t-shirts.
Were you done with Teespring at that point?
No, that was on Teespring.
It was on Teespring.
Yeah, that was on Teespring.
Whoa. All right. And it was all by buying Facebook ads to your t-shirts?
Yep.
And I'm guessing you were targeting people who are fans of your page, that kind of thing?
No, we targeted, so that was a gun shirt, but
you know what? Hang on a second. Since we called your dad, let me see if I could get my wife on speaker. You got a few more minutes?
Yeah, we're here.
Olivia, you're now part of this interview, okay? So don't say anything to embarrass me. Talk about like how great.
Oh, we're
of a
totally embarrassing
him
because
really good.
I got embarrassed. So
oh, do you want me to tell them how I come home to find you doing your zipper, road bike, shirtless, grinning ear to ear? The kids,
that is true, but it's called Zwift. It's
with full bellies and hearts full of love.
See what's going on?
No,
shall I go on?
You know what? I have to admit, I was talking over you a little bit and laughing over you just because I was a little embarrassed and didn't know where you were going with that. But I get it. Yeah, it's true. She did come home and she saw me shirtless riding a bike, a stationary bike in the living room because I had to try something called Zwift, where I'm riding a stationary bike or a bike that has a trainer on it to make it into a stationary bike. My little character on my computer is riding. The faster I ride, the faster the character's riding. And I get competitive now on this stinking home bike, but I love it. And yes, I was shirtless. I don't know what it is right now, but it's true. I am very rapid. Trey, I can see, is exhausted just from listening to me, but he's being very accommodating because I've got a good audience for him, I think.
Well, I should get off the phone because it's not fair to monopolize, but hi, Trey. Andrew, hello. Remember to smile more. You said you never smile in your interview.
That's true. I'm smiling a lot with Trey now, though. Thank you.
We got the smiles going. We got the energy.
All right, baby. I'll call you later.
All right. Ciao.
Bye. See, I was being a little chicken. I didn't know what she would say because you know what? I married a hippie chick. Her levels of like what you're supposed to say and mine are totally different. I grew up admiring people like Alex P. Keaton, you know, from what was that called? Family Ties, right? She grew up admiring the moon and the crescent moon and I don't know.
This might make for the best podcast title yet. You know, Trey's dad, you know.
Trey's dad and Andrew's wife claims
liability, and then all of a sudden some hippie comes online. I don't know how it all went down, but it happened.
That is true.
That's awesome. That's amazing.
So be a little more – I'm going to take it down a notch. She's right. I am a little bit hyper here in this interview.
You're just excited. I'm excited.
I get excited about this.
Dude,
and you
this
know
is
what?
Good stuff.
Hell yeah. I'm glad that now, as tired as you can hear my voice is, there's so many other things I could be doing. I stopped to do this interview, and it's not because I have to do it, because I committed to the sponsors, because I committed to the team, or committed to you, Frank. I freaking love your story, Trey. I could talk like this for hours, but I shouldn't. I should shut up a little and let you talk more. But this is fun, right? I mean, look at this. I understand artists, right? They get excited about art, but the truth is, I feel like this is both art and you're impacting people's lives tremendously. The people who work for you, the customers who are buying from you, the people who are going to be changing their lives just like you change your life because of that kid who was sitting next to you at Traffic and Conversion. This is meaningful, exciting work. Of course I'm going to be excited. But let's go back to the substance of it. What did you do that was substantively different when you came back after you had your minimum target and outrageous goals?
I had my mind right.
Because, but what did you do with that mind that was right? What did you change? What specifically did you do about the ads that was different from before?
It wasn't, here's the thing is there was two things. There was the MTO and then there's something that Ari didn't ask me, but there was a guy there. His name is Satyan and I can give you his link, but great, great guy. And I don't know what that dude did to me, but he did something. He pulled me aside and said, hey, we need to go do an exercise real quick. And basically, not going in depth of the exercise, but basically what happened was he took me down to like my inner core. Like he peeled back the onions that was on the surface. Like my surface was, oh, I don't want to spend $10 because I can't afford it. Basically, he was able to peel back the peels and get down to the core, which was the core. The core problem of my Facebook ads was me thinking that my family would not approve of me and me living on the streets. Is really what it came down to. Like that was like what my inner core, my subconscious peeled back came down to. And he's like, so you're not wanting to spend money because you're afraid that you're going to be homeless and your parents would disapprove. And I was like, yeah. He goes, okay, now we're somewhere. And then we came back. And man, after that, I was like alive. And I was like, holy crap, this is amazing. Like who cares if I spend $100 a day? And I went back that day or went back to, you know, Missouri, came home. I was like, we're spending money. And we started spending money, and then you guess what? With money, shirts also appear. You sell more shirts, and we sold a crap ton of more shirts. We were doing around $5,000 a day in Facebook ad spend to hit that April goal. But we came up with a problem. So there's roadblocks, no matter how fast and how quick you go and where you grow. But one problem we had was our credit card limit was at $10,000, and our Facebook limit at that point, Facebook had limits, which was at $5K. So what sucked was we were running so hot on Teespring that we were spending $5K a day on Facebook ads, and then the second day, Facebook says, oh, sorry, we weren't able to charge your credit card because you're maxed out. So we have to call our credit card company, pay off our credit card, which would take 24 hours to reconcile, and then boom, hey, now we're back to zero. Now and then Facebook ads, and that time, like, you know, same thing, Facebook done, up, down, up, like it takes pixels to refire and all that junk. Like, we're just trying to make money. Like, we're trying to make 100 grand this month because we're on such a freaking jet stream. We call it a jet stream.
Yeah.
And it was just amazing to watch it. And, you know, that really brings me down to something is, you know, your listeners, is the big takeaway would be, you know, not always looking at the biggest goal. Like, we've talked about the private jet. Like, that's cool. Like, I think private jets are awesome. They're fun. You know, and you might too. You might think a Corvette's awesome or a Maserati or a Lamborghini, and you're just always ahead of that big goal. Or like maybe you're set. You know, your outrageous goal is a million listeners in 1 month or one podcast. That's so big that if you keep concentrating on that big goal, that outrageous goal, you'll tear you'll tear yourself to shreds, and you'll never get there because you're not celebrating small wins, in my opinion. And I think it's the small wins in life that get you to those big wins in life. And when I say a small win, I'm talking like go out and treat your family to Dairy Queen. Go have an ice cream cone. It doesn't have to be something expensive. Go play a game somewhere. Go play mini putt golf. But take a moment in time and say, hey, wifey, the reason we're at mini putt tonight is we did 100,000 listeners on this podcast.
I see.
You know what I'm talking about?
Like, yeah, we sold our first t-shirt. You mentioned in the past that you do that, and I wondered why that was such an important thing for you to bring up. Like, I bought an ice cream cone for my girlfriend, and that's what it is. That it takes that big hairy goal and puts it out of your mind for a moment and how far you are from it, and allows you to focus on what you've already achieved, which then strengthens your confidence and allows you to keep getting closer to that bigger goal. Is that it?
It tells your brain that you're on the way. Like, you're having successful moments. It's like, have you ever had a whole day at work and then you come home, you're like, what did I even do today? You had those?
Yeah.
I have those, like, you know, once a week. I'm like, what the heck did I do? And I know I did something, but if you don't write down, like, your accomplishments, it feels like you didn't do anything.
And
but
you
realistically,
do that. You
write
down your accomplishments every day?
You got to. You got to. Even if they're small, like, oh, I created an email campaign.
What do you do that?
I do it in a journal. I do
just
it in a
you
journal.
Sit down in a journal every day? What time?
I try to do it. It depends. Like, sometimes if I can't get it to it at night, I'll do it in the morning. So I'll do like a miracle morning or whatnot. And then I'll take about 5 to 10 minutes just a recap of what I did the day before.
Okay. That's like a Hal Elrod miracle morning.
I forgot who wrote
Yeah, that's the author of the book.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I just follow the savers.
Then you said, sorry?
I just follow the savers.
Then you said, you know what? T-shirts are getting overcrowded. Everybody now is recognizing the value of T-shirts. I got to move on to something else. How did you figure out what to move on to? It's very hard when you have something that works to transition away from it, let alone to find the next thing that actually works as fast as you did.
Totally. And I don't know if it was fast. You know, it's always in the workings, right? Because we were crashing, to be real frank. We were coming off because I learned real quickly that this is a database that we need to have in place, and we're not getting that database. So we need to create something that is a database, and that comes with leads and management and all that stuff.
So you don't start from scratch every week or every month or every campaign the way you did with Teespring.
Right. So we used Entreport at the time because ClickFunnels didn't exist yet. It was in existence, but no one knew about it. So I was trying to come off Teespring. I was creating a website that could take orders. I spent $5,000 to build this website in short. In 2 months, after we slowed down our ads on Teespring, ready to launch this new website, took our first order and it all failed. Like, it pretty much just all crumbled and broke. Like, there was no way to grab orders and upsells, and like nothing worked. And I was in like dismay, and it was really bad. And so I called up a friend named Kim Doyle. And I was like, Kim, this is what's going on. It sucks. My life is going to be ruined. Like, I'm gonna have to go back and get a job. Like, you know, that whole deal. As entrepreneurs do, like, we sink in this hole and we're like, get me out. And she's like, oh, you need to check out this thing Russell Brunson's doing, which was ClickFunnels. And I was like, well, what's that? And, you know, got on it, tried the free trial, whatever, and made our first order form. And it was I heard this thing called arbitrage. where you pretty much go to Amazon, which is crazy of a thought, but basically if you want to start making money today and not have any inventory and no risk and like zero money in the bank, you could totally do this. And this is what we still do today. But I went to Amazon, saw that the Amazon was selling the sign, which was kind of close to our audience, which was a warning, due to ammo increase, there will not be a warning shot. And so it was for like $6 prime. And I was like, okay, great. I can sell this for maybe $12. And so we had a large audience on our fan page. It was 100,000 likes. And keep in mind, like I know I say like these big numbers, like 100,000, or you say a million listeners, like that is just so far-fetched and so out there to some of these listeners that we got to reel it back a little bit. Is you started with one listener and I started with one like. That's the real of this conversation. Mm-hmm. Like there's nothing, like I put my pants on the same way you put your pants on. In the same way your listeners put their pants on. Like there's nothing different between me and you. Like we're not smarter than them. They're, you know what I'm saying? Like there's nothing different here. So we had 100,000 likes. We built that up over time, okay? And we had an audience to reach. We built that up through t-shirts. That's totally cool. You can do it today with Facebook like ads. Mm-hmm. So anyways, we posted this sign on our page. I put the order form for $12. And you know what? We posted a sign. So we didn't have any advertisement. We were just using our organic reach. And I think we sold like 12 signs. And I was like, I looked at Bryce and I was like, holy crap, people are buying these signs. And so Bryce runs over his computer, going to Amazon, downloading the orders, and then typing in each person's address on Amazon Prime and sending these guys signs.
So you don't have to even pay shipping. Amazon's going to send it out to your customers.
Yeah. So basically Amazon's sending these out. So nice to them. And apparently Amazon only allows you to have like 1,000 uncles and aunts, because at about 1,000 mark, you get an email from Amazon saying that your Prime account's going to be shut down. So, which I was like, well, I didn't know. And they're like, well, please review our terms of service. Apparently Amazon's pretty dang smart. They actually use the word arbitrage in their terms of service. And I was like, well, that's pretty fancy. And so they actually know about it. So then we had to not use Prime. We actually had to bundle up with shipping, which is, you know, that happens. But it gave us an idea of like what's able to work. And that's how we started to find out how to sell products, like how to sell physical products. Like those 1,000 orders gave us enough information and knowledge and education on how our funnel should be operating and working to where we can use it through organic reach and then through paid advertising. So we made enough money. Like we probably made $100 off those signs, right? We sold like 10 of them. We made $10 each, let's say, so $100. So we use that money as house money. And then we use that $100 to do a Facebook ad towards the sign to publish it. And that's when we sold like 1,000 of these signs from Amazon, just arbitraging them.
Where'd you learn about the upsell and how to have a continuity product?
I learned that from Perry Belcher.
You signed up for a lot of these guys' masterminds and programs.
Yes.
It seems like even when you were making $60,000 a year, you spent a good amount of money on going to these programs.
Yep. My first mentor was Adam Spiel. So I paid him, I think, $5,000 a month or something.
That's a month's salary you're paying him.
Oh, yeah. I was taking all my money from the t-shirts and just like, dude, I got to pay you, you know? And I looked at it as an education. Like, I'm paying him to educate me on his knowledge. And then I hired up to like, I don't even know what the count is. I think I may have told Ari. I think I counted it for her. It's like 12 or something mentors so far that I've had. But each mentor has given me a piece of the puzzle. Like, no, I've not had a mentor who like knew it all, right? Like they're good at one thing or maybe two, but to just like dictate and educate myself from that knowledge has grown me as not only as a person, but as a business owner.
What does it cost to be part of your mastermind?
20,000.
20,000 bucks. And then what do I get for 20,000?
That's a good question. So we have a training. We have 12-week training that you go through, video training. And then we have weekly calls. So we have group mentoring calls, which you and I get on a phone call and we say, hey, what's working? Like, show me your funnel. Like, let's open your screen and show me what's working and what's not working and what can I do to get it to work and crank and tweak and all that stuff.
And it's all about the same thing that you do, which is selling physical products with an upsell.
Yeah, absolutely. Upsells, downsells, thank you pages, retargeting, the back end. Like, we go all the way into, you know, how to get affiliates, how to do email marketing, how to open a call center.
And that's a big part of your belief. The physical product needs to be the door opener. Why? Why not sell a video first?
You totally could. But, you know, one thing that Perry always said on stage was, you know, it's almost 5 times easier or 10 times easier to sell a physical product than it is a digital product. just because it's something that you like, as humans, we want something physical in our hands. Like we want to have something to touch. So that's always the way to go about it. And then to take that, and then also to take the other piece from a mentor I had named Carl White, was he said the secret to success was always getting in front of a parade. So as you know, we just had this big St. Pat's parade. Like someone put that parade on. Someone put that together. I don't know who it was. But what I do know is I knew where it was located, which is Facebook. Okay, so we're going to relate all this back to Facebook. But I can say, okay, well, I know there's going to be one in St. Louis. So I could target people in St. Louis and do a little survey saying, hey, what's your top favorite drink? Is it Coca-Cola, tea, lemonade, water, juice? Like, which one is it? And from that survey, I'm going to conclude the highest one might be lemonade, let's say. So two differences here. If I was the guy that just threw noodles at the wall, I would go to Walmart and I'd buy, let's say, 20% of each. So I'd buy 20% of Coke, 20% of lemonade, 20% of water. Okay, and bring that all down to the parade at the same day. More than likely, at that parade, I'm going to find out what is the most popular drink. But I only brought 20% of it. Versus me, the guy who knew the parade was going to be in existence and happen, and I surveyed them previously, and I said, hey, what I'm asking is, what do you guys like to buy? You know, Andrew, what's your favorite drink? Oh, I love Coca-Cola. Okay, that's what I'm going to bring to your house. You're going to get Coca-Cola. And so imagine that. Like, I spend all my money. I take all that revenue, and I go down to the parade with Coca-Cola. I'm probably going to sell the majority of my Coca-Cola. It's going to be gone because I surveyed them previously.
And do you survey them, or are you doing test sales first?
No, we do surveys. We just ask. We ask for hand raises. That's all we do. That's all. Like, people make this stuff so complicated, and I like to keep it super simple. Is we ask our buyers, we ask our email list, like, hey, what are you guys buying? You know, they raise their hand, they'll tell us. We'll have phone calls with them. They say, oh, I just bought X, Y, and Z. A really easy trick is, a lot of people don't know this, is you can go to Amazon wish list. And in Amazon list wish, you can use your database and you can use an email and just take your emails from your database and put them in that wish list on Amazon, and it'll show you what's on their wish list. And so you can see what type of products they're buying.
Oh, hang on a second. So now, you know what? I went through so much work to hide my wish list because I put random stuff on there and I was a little embarrassed by it. There was nothing that I should be super embarrassed by, but I don't need you to know what I'm thinking about. I don't need you
True,
to know.
True, but and you have some people like that, right? But
your email address. I don't. I have your support email address. But if I would put your email address into Amazon, I could see your wish list?
No, mine's gone too. I hid mine.
You know what? Let's take this guy, Justin Hartman. I like you, Justin. That's why I'm like going to you. Amazon wish list. Where on Amazon.com do I find other people's wish lists? Do you remember?
Let's see. So, oops, I didn't place my order yet.
I'll find it. I'll just Google for it, and I'm going to type his contact info in there.
You have to say, like, friends wish list, though. So you're going to
Got it. I see it. It's registry. Find a list or registry. I'm going to type in Justin's email address. He probably doesn't use his work address, but let's see.
It should be, like, your friends.
Can't find. All right, that's not in there. Okay. I know who I'm going to look for. I'm going to look for Noah Kagan. Let's see. Noah Kagan. And I'm going to take his Gmail address, which is usually the best email for people because you can't change those easily.
What we found is a success rate of about 30%.
I'll take that, even a 10%. And then that allows you to figure out what they want.
Yeah, well, what they're buying, like a lot of people, like how many times have you gone to add stuff and you add products and you're like, oh, save for later, add to wish list, right? Like I'll just grab that later. And so that puts it in your wish list. And so what we'll do is we'll go grab our database and just kind of go through there and do 100 names or 200 names. And we look for commonalities. Like, okay, what are people buying in general? Like, are they buying safes? Are they buying first aid kits? Are they buying compasses? Like, what is it? And then we start to use that data to start throwing out to them and saying, hey, are you guys buying compasses? Oh my gosh, yeah, look at this compass that I just bought. Look at this one. Look at this first aid kit that I just purchased.
I see. And it's not about selling them the thing that's on their wish list necessarily, but about understanding what are they like. Are they survivalists, which is one of the things that you discovered. And if they are, then what can we buy what can we sell to those kinds of people?
Yes, absolutely. So again, you're getting in front of the parade. Your Facebook fan page is the parade. You're asking them questions of what are you guys buying. A lot of people go with a product first approach, which is, I have this fancy freaking pen that I just invented and it's going to sell millions because I think it's cool. Well, I tried that a lot and I realized, like, a lot of people don't like what I like. They don't think what's cool is what I think is cool. So we started going with a market first approach. And with that market first approach is we're able to say, What are you guys buying? What are you loving? What are you interested in? And when they come back and they say this, this, and this, guess what? We go sell them that. Like, we're not here to go reinvent the wheels. There's so much pie out there. I just want some crumbs.
What's this thing that you told Russell about how to find out what your avatar's wallet size is? Once you know who they are, how do you find out how much money they have to spend? Boy, we're really going over here, but let's come to an end soon.
Don't we always? Let's see. What was that piece? Got to remind me on that one. I talk about a lot of stuff.
I guess you told him about wallet size. Maybe people can go check out that interview on ClickFunnels, which is one of the things that my assistant put together for me. Is this a great interview or what?
This is good.
Right?
How do we share some golden nuggets to make these guys freaking just love this podcast?
What do you mean? What do you have in mind for a golden nugget?
I don't know. What can we share? What can we? You know what we could do is challenge is always good. Like if I had to do it all over again, what things that we ran into that were problems that might make sure that they're not in the problem?
What would you do differently?
Oh man, hold on, I got a big list. I saved it for you.
Or what's working for you for ad buys right now? And I know we're going to show people what your current funnel looks like and give them a sample of it. That's what that URL is that we're going to give them.
We're not just going to give them a sample. We're going to give them a freaking downloadable funnel so they can start making money today. What are we doing for ad buys? We're doing basically the same as we always have, which is Facebook, email drops, and affiliates. Affiliates drive most of our traffic, if not all of our traffic. Basically, we'll do a little bit of Facebook on our end just to make sure the funnel's operation. And then we give it to people. Again, we're giving this stuff to people who know what the heck they're doing. Like, I do two things really, really well. Is I know how to find offers that convert, and I know how to build a freaking good funnel. Like, those are the two big things that I can plant my feet in and say, this is what I do well. Getting traffic and driving traffic and taking support calls and making sure the air conditioning is running on time. Like, all that stuff is delegated out, right? But it never was at the beginning. Like, you have to wear all those hats. I totally get that. Totally understand that.
And this funnel that we're giving them, it's a funnel on ClickFunnels.
Yes.
It automatically gets loaded into their ClickFunnel account.
Yep. And if they don't have one, I think it's super cheap.
There's a trial
period
in there.
Yeah, a trial period, and they can grab that.
So then that's pretty smart of you, too, because now you're going to make some money from that, too, which is not your upside. That's not the reason why you're here.
No.
That's not going to make you enough money. But that's interesting, actually. I like that even the lead magnet is a generator for you.
It is. Yeah, I mean you got to, right? You kind of get smart about this stuff. So here's a couple things. Where to start? Like where would you say your listeners at? Like are they in a job? Are they
they have companies, they're guys like that, the guy that like Justin, who I brought up. Though Justin might actually qualify for an interviewee. They have companies and they're trying to figure out how to grow it. They're kind of like you were when you went to your first mastermind. Maybe a little further.
Okay. So one thing that you need to put on your order forms, your upsells, your downsells, your opt-ins, even your website is chat. We use PureChat, PureChat.com.
Mm-hmm.
Affiliate link not included. So where they can go to Pure, I think it's $15 a month, super cheap, where they get 3 users. But I'm telling you, like, chat will change your life on so many different levels. We call it chat 911 just for fun. But basically, it would be 5 hours before we knew our order form was broke. And with chat, it's within about 5 to 10 minutes because someone's popping up and they're saying, hey, I can't get my card to go through. Or hey, versus someone taking the time to email you and say, hey,
yes, I love this.
I'm having trial. So
why do you use PureChat, by the way?
I don't know. It was the first one that I Googled when I first started, and we've never switched.
Okay, so you just keep a chat up. What else?
I'm just going to fireball off.
Yeah, please.
Spitball. All right. So that way these guys get tons of value today.
I might be in love with you. I might need to break up with Olivia and marry you.
Oh, I don't care to see you riding a bike with no shirt on.
I like the way you think, and I like how you're just hitting us with a lot of useful, actionable stuff here at the end.
Yep. So here's the other thing is game changer time is, you know, look at your business now and then times it by 1,000.
Okay.
So like let's say you're doing 100 orders right now.
Yes.
What would it look like to do 1,000 orders? How does your back end, like what systems start breaking down? And I know that's a crazy thought, but think again, like we were selling I don't even know, 2,000 shirts in 1 month, and then the next shirt we sold, I think, like 20,000. So it's like, how do you go from 5,000 to 20,000? Luckily, Teespring, like, great things about Teespring is they had support and they had chat and they had like all that back end ready for you. Like, you didn't even ever see that. With your own business, you know what I'm talking about. Like, you got support, you got chat, you have Ari, like, taking all those customer service calls, you have the emails coming in. Like, someone needs to field those. And when you're taking the time to do that, you take away what you're really, really good at, which is interviewing, you know? And so, and that's
you're saying before it breaks down, sit down and figure out what's going to break when you get bigger.
Oh yeah, because it's going to happen. Like, if you're in the business to be in business, you're going to get bigger. Like, no one stays the same, right? Like, if they're a true entrepreneur and really hungry and a lion, mm-hmm. you know, we always say here, we got a big poster out there. It says, it's a big lion with bloody teeth and stuff. It says, you know, if you're going to be everyone wants to be a lion until it's time to do lion shit. Very holds true. So a lot of people, until they really have to show up to blow up, they don't do it so hot. So the other thing is, let's see, what else can we do here? So 1,000 stuff. So making your logistics are in order. We do physical items. So we had our own shipping company, which was a horrible idea. We'd actually, if I had to start over again, I would hire that out. So I would look for a drop shipping company. You can easily Google drop shipper. Like, ours would be Dropshipper St. Louis. Yours might be Dropshipper New York, to where you can find someone who's going to hold your items and then ship those for you. Again, you want to make sure that you're doing something in your favor to where you can work on your business versus working in your business.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is what, looking at time. So recently, I have a Maserati on the way. But the other thing is I'm like, maybe I should have bought a Tesla, because Tesla just came out with the drive from A to B without any hands. So I'm thinking, okay, it takes me 20 minutes to and from work every day. That would save me an hour of time over a course of a month. That's 20 hours of free time that I could be working on my business, making phone calls, chatting with, you know, podcast interviewers or emailing or whatever it is, right? Or talking to coaching clients and saying, hey, I got 20 minutes. Let's chat it up real quick. So I want to take that a step back, because maybe someone's like, oh, I can't afford a Tesla right now. But what you can afford is maybe going and grabbing some Amazon links and having them pay you some Amazon affiliate prices. And that's where I started. I made the joke of how Amazon would pay for my lawn. Amazon would bring us maybe $40 a week or so, and that was just enough for the lawn to be mowed. But it would take me an hour to mow the lawn. So right there, I saved 4 hours a month, right?
Yeah.
That's huge. So when you can start speaking those type of volumes, like, okay, well, what's it take to get a cleaning lady? What's it take to get an in-house chef? Most of you guys think it's probably pretty expensive. It's cheap. It's very inexpensive. Things like that. Like, what about someone who goes out and shops for you for your attire? How about someone who gets your dress ready? How about when you are doing weightlifting, like having a coach? So like, all those things put together will save time to where your day extends. So stuff like that, that's been really huge for me, is just looking at and cracking that code of time, because just like you, we're busy. And so when we can find that extra 20 minutes or extra 30 minutes that doesn't take those times, we can make things do some pretty cool things.
You still using GetFriday.com for stuff like that?
We do use GetFriday.com. Those guys are awesome. They're like $7 an hour, no withholdings.
For virtual assistant.
For virtual assistants. So there, I learned from them from the four hour work week from Tim Ferriss. So Get Friday is fantastic. They have 300 people. They back themselves up. They can do all types of tasks except for deliver you some goods. So they can do Excel documents, upload YouTube videos, do transcribes, take emails, reply to emails, organize, stuff like that, which makes it really simple. We have them do a lot of Excel data analysis. The other thing is like your credit card breaking, you know, making sure that your limits are up. So like someone who's getting used to Facebook, they might not even think about their credit card breaking. And that's where the 1,000 multiplier comes from. Like, if you're going to scale up your ads, what's going to break? Oh, my credit card will break because I only have a limit of 5,000. You should probably get that raised to 10 to 20,000 just to be ready. We actually use an American Express Plum card. So I love that because there's no limits. There really is like zero limits. We were doing like 200K in Facebook ads a month just from American Express. We actually had the guy from American Express show up at our door, and he brings in this paper. It's hilarious. And he goes, who are you guys? And I was like, what do you mean? And he goes, what do you do? And I was like, I don't know. We sell gun stuff. And he's like, wow. Okay, well, I'm your American Express rep. I was like, well, nice to meet you. And I was like, what can I do for you? He's like, let me show you something. So he pulls up in his chart. He shows me all his clients, 400 clients that he looks over. It shows all these really small graphs, one little bigger graph, and then one amazing like large graph. He goes, that large graph, that's your guys' spending compared to all my other 400 clients. He goes, you're my top one. You make what you do in spending trumps everybody altogether. And I was like, holy crap, that's kind of cool. And so like that's why we like American Express Plum Card, is because it allows you to spend so you don't have those caps. Let's see. The other thing would be UPS. We ran into a big thing with USPS, the United States Postal Service. So when we started ramping up really fast with orders, the United States Postal Service gave us a four-digit MID. So when you're using stamps.com, which I don't recommend, they will give you a small MID. If you ramp up like we did, then what will happen is you will start duplicating your UPS tracking codes. And when you do that, that's going to create a lot of havoc within your organization. Meaning people, what's going to happen is they'll get an email with a UPS or USPS tracking link. They'll click on that link. It's going to say it's been delivered. And then not just delivered, but delivered in a different city, a different state. And that's going to create phone calls like, hey, I just ordered this and it was shipped yesterday and it says it's delivered in the wrong state. Like, I need a refund. Like, are you guys real? Are you guys legit? This was such a big issue that we got in trouble through many sources. Like, we had the police showing up to our front door and asking if we were real business, because some dude in Milwaukee called the police station just to make sure we're legit, because he called the USPS Postal Service guy, the whatever they call him, the head of it, and was like, hey, do you guys duplicate tracking numbers? They're like, no, we don't duplicate tracking numbers. We would never do that. Well, they do. And so who are they going to believe, right? Are they going to believe the USPS guy, or are they going to believe the guy selling products?
This all happened because of a what's the MID thing? What's
scale. The scale. The MID cannot handle our scale. So basically, a MID is basically, so on a USPS tracking number, you get the last four digits of a MID. So they'll give you a range of like 0 to 999 or something like
okay.
that. And then on that MID, from the digits before it, you only have like maybe 1,000 packages per rotation.
I see. And you're saying that if you grow too fast like you did, then they recycle those tracking numbers because they didn't give you enough. And they're saying, no, we never do that. But in reality, in your case, they did, because they gave you such a short number, such a small number of codes.
Yeah.
Got it. I see. And that's how you got secured by the Better Business Bureau.
Yep. Those guys are nice as well. So that created, you know, the next step, which for people were calling to the BBB, and they're like, these guys are scams. They're sending it to different places and different locations. So it makes us look really bad, right? Like, it's nothing that we could do or handle. Again, we didn't follow our own rule, which was, okay, what happens when we scale this to 1,000? Stuff like this is going to break, but stuff like this, like, I don't even know how you would prepare for that if you didn't know about it. Because there's no way I would have known like MIDs break, or there's even a MID, or there's even like something that's tied to a USPS. You know, like how do you know that? So even if you went through that exercise of times it by 1,000, there's still things like this that's out of your control that you don't even know are in place, right?
All right. I think we got a lot in here. What's the URL for anyone who wants to go see the funnel? And by the way, I was wrong. You actually do not need to have an account to get this. Yes, you can put it into your ClickFunnels account, but you can click and see every single page of the process, see how it works without creating an account anywhere. What's the URL, though, that you created?
Mr. Onnit. That's my nickname.
Mr. Onnit?
Yeah, MRONIT.com/MixerG. Keep it simple.
MrOnnit.com/MixerG. All right. Why don't we leave it there? Is that the best place for people to follow up if they want to get to see more of your work?
Yeah. On the tops, like, the best thing would be do that, grab that, and then the Unstoppable Course that we're putting out, that's free content. They can kind of get to know me.
Where do I get the Unstoppable Course? I've been on your site this whole time looking for it, and maybe I missed it.
Uh-oh. So it's just treylewellen.com, and then if you go to treylewellen.com, the first heading is Unstoppable Core with Trey Llewellyn. Watch now.
Yes. You know what? I was looking all around at all the other details of the page and not the thing that was right there. Only because I was trying to figure out like more about you, what you were selling. It's right there. Unstoppable Core is right there with Trey Llewellyn. Cool. Yep, Trey, it's good to meet you. I obviously had a good time here. I am going to stick with my wife. Good advice there. Let's be honest. I was never going to leave her. But I do like this conversation. I like the way you think. I enjoy the fact that you're willing to like roll with my punches. Like, what happens if I say I'm going to call your dad? You don't back off. You don't feel uncomfortable when I push you. You got to talk to. I love it. Cool, Trey. Trey, now's the time where maybe you say, Andrew, I love Mixergy. It might even be better than any other podcast that I've ever done.
It is the best podcast I've ever done.
Boom!
It's amazing. Leave it there.
Thank you so much, Trey.
It's gonna be the number one podcast on what? Who are you in comparison to? Like who's your number one right now?
Ooh, number one guest.
Well, yeah, the one who has the most listens. Like which
you know
one
what has guest biggest... has the most listens, and it's kind of an unfair advantage. It's Paul Graham of Y Combinator, because for a long time on Y Combinator, he put a link to his Mixergy interview. Like, you want to know more about what Y Combinator is? Go to Mixergy, cool. See the in-depth interview that Andrew did with me. And so that was a tremendous help.
Oh, that's awesome. All right, yeah. So we got to do something like that.
We got to do something like that.
And we got to push some ads to it. And then we'll outdo do him.
So you would push ads to this. You got people who would push ads to it?
I'll push ads to it.
I'll buy ads. How much? I don't want you to pay for it. If I pay a couple hundred bucks, what kind of ads would you put on this, and how do we know if it worked?
Well, I think what we could do. What do you sell? What do you got for purchase?
We have a premium membership, but I don't even need that. What I need is like I would go for more listens. That would be a big win for me.
Let's do that. Let's just go for that.
All right,
let's skyrocket this.
Couple hundred bucks, and we'll see how it grows the listens. You're gonna feel awkward asking me after this interview is over. So let me ask you here: what's the best way to send you money? Is it PayPal?
Pay to send me money?
So you can pay $200 for the ads. I want your team. If you guys have ad buyers, I want to see what you guys do.
Oh, okay. Yeah, PayPal's fine.
All right. I'll ask you for your pay. Put it in Skype once you're done. I'll send $200. I want it to come from me. I don't need you buying ads for your own inter- – actually, that wouldn't be bad either, but I'm not asking you to do it. It's kind of awkward if I do. I'd much rather say a couple $100. I'll pay it. Let's see how it impacts your downloads. I better give my voice a rest. For a guy who really – shouldn't be using his voice. I used it more than most interviews, but it was worth it. Trey, thanks so much for doing this interview.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me.
Thank you to my two sponsors. If you need a great developer, go to toptal.com/Mixergy. And if you need an easy way to get on phone with potential customers, go check out acuityscheduling.com/Mixergy. All right. Bye, everyone.